Well, good morning. We're glad you're here this Easter Sunday as we come not only to remember Christ's death on the cross, as I said, which is vital to our salvation, of course, but especially today to focus on the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. And we're glad you're here as we're continuing near the end of a series we've been looking at it as a church on spiritual growth in part of the book of Ephesians from chapter 3 to 5. And today, Christians, we know we celebrate the reality of Christ rising from the grave. The fact is, we'll study this afternoon that the tomb was empty, and what this meant for the early Christians who first saw Him. So, we're not going to be looking at those gospel narratives this morning. We hope you can come this afternoon. Those resurrection appearances that are foundational to the gospel message that Christ not only died as historical fact, but as the tomb was empty, that's historical fact. And the disciples did not come up with this idea. They couldn't have. And we'll see that this afternoon. Because Christ is risen, the tomb is empty. But what we're looking at today, and is often there in Paul's letters and other letters as well, is what you'd say is the theological understanding and impact of the resurrection. As Paul, for example, looks back, led by the Spirit of God, to give us the Word of God, to see the depth and understanding, help us understand what the cross and the resurrection mean for our Christian lives, for our salvation, for our sanctification or spiritual growth, how the resurrection transforms our daily lives. And Paul has been focusing, in a sense, if you've been in this series in Ephesians, on the cross part of the Christian life first, at least to some level. The idea of putting off the old ways and bearing our cross. And he had said in verse 17, he told us to no longer walk in the ways of this lost world of ignorance around us. We've been saved from that. And he says we're to put off the old ways of the sinful world. And folks, we know as Christians, there's always a cross pattern to the Christian life. That we're constantly having to put away the old ways and die to ourselves and deny ourselves and take up our crosses as Christ told us to. But when it comes to salvation and spiritual growth, we must remember there is always also a resurrection part in the spiritual sense. Now, yes, one day we'll be resurrected bodily. That's another sermon you could look at Easter. But there is a resurrection part to what Christ has done for us. There is the putting on of the new life, walking in the resurrection power because Christ is risen and we're transformed and we're called to live in that power. And so Paul has been telling us already in Ephesians back in chapter 4 that we're equipped through teachers to know the gospel. We're taught about Christ and we've learned in Christ how to put off the old ways. Our minds being renewed in who we are in Christ through the gospel and the truth. And that there's a dying to sin, but there's also the putting on of those new ways in that resurrection power, that new life as we walk in Christ, as we trust Christ. And this is all because Christ has come and lived perfectly. He's died, but then He didn't stay in the tomb. He rose, and Christians are united to Him. And as Paul says in Ephesians 1, the same power that lifted Jesus up from death in the resurrection lives in us now through the Holy Spirit. So in the verses we read this morning, 8 to 14 of Ephesians 5, Paul is picturing this new life that true Christians live in. The new way of Christ and Christ-like love, as we talked about last week. This new power and transformation God has brought into true Christians' lives. And He continues to change us. And Paul is picturing that new life as light. The light of Christ, the light of God through the cross and the resurrection especially. So we've been in this practical part of Ephesians in chapter 4 to 6. And Paul is teaching us about growth through the gospel, about the spiritual gifts that are given to do that, and how we, in practical areas, we spent a number of weeks in chapter 4, have to put off these practical old ways of sin and selfishness and die in those ways. And then we're to walk in the new ways, the new life that Christ, because Christ is risen, there's new life. And once He shows us those practical exchanges we saw a few weeks ago in chapter 4, He calls us to a lifestyle of love. We looked at that last week in chapter 5 in the verses before we read. He sums it up in a walk of love, a lifestyle of love as we imitate God our Father in His great love, the God who sent His Son in love. And we seek to, in light of the great sacrifice of the Son of God in love, who gave Himself on the cross, we seek to trust Him and then walk in imitation of that. And then Paul calls us to avoid those things we saw last week that are against that love that we see in the world all around us, still in our old remaining flesh and sin, selfish ways of the world, lustful ways, greedy ways of the world that go against the selfless love of Jesus. And we looked at all of that last week. And we're to stand against immorality and impurity and greed, knowing that is why, as we talked about last week, the wrath of God had to be dealt with on the cross. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to deal with God's wrath against those sinful things, to take our place. And that's what He did. And so we have to stand against those sins. And Paul had said in verse 7, right before where we read, don't be partakers with them. Yes, we've got to be around those in those ways of living, but we can't join with them. We can't join in their behavior as Christians, and we can't be deceived, because as Paul says, God's wrath comes against those and those things of sin, and one day His wrath is coming in the end for those that don't turn to Him. So Paul is calling us to walk in love, focused on the cross and the sacrificial love of Christ dying for us. But He is all, and He took that wrath away. That's why Jesus died. We can't live in those ways. But in verses 8 to 14 that we're looking at today, Paul is calling us to walk in light. Before he will next Sunday talk about, and we hope you'll join us, how we walk in wisdom, how we walk with God's Spirit, how we're filled with the Spirit. And this, folks, is how the power of the resurrection of Christ, His new life, because He rose from the grave, changes us as believers. How we're saved through that new life, how we continue to grow in that new life. And so verses 8 and following, Paul puts the focus on that new life through the resurrection of Christ. Yes, that new life has the love of God at the heart of it, but Paul pictures it as light. God's light. As someone said, the Christians, and we too, could conclude on what Paul said last week, well, how can we possibly reflect God's glory? How is there hope that we can be different and we can do that? And now Paul's going to show us that hope. And that's what the resurrection of Christ is all about. Through the resurrection of Christ, as 1 Peter 1 says, we've been born again into a living hope. So Paul's saying we're to walk in the light as children of light. That's who Christ has made us to be. That's what the resurrection means for our lives, practically, if you will. And Paul's going to help us see how that resurrection light, that resurrection power of Jesus, is worked out in our lives as Christians. How does the resurrection impact our lives today? How does the light Christ has brought as the light change our lives through His cross and resurrection, so that we are lights in Him? So that we shine the truth of the gospel and God's grace in the dark world around us, pointing people to Him. What does this look like in the church today? What does it look like in Christians' lives today? What is essential for us to experience and express this new life in Jesus Christ as His lights in a dark world? How's the resurrection at the very heart of that? Well, I think we see some powerful truths here in verses 8 to 14. Excuse me, about the power of the resurrection and the new light that has dawned. Everything's been changed since Christ came and died and He rose. And He is continually transforming us so that we are light in Him, as Paul says. We see some great truths here. Number one in verse 8a is embrace your calling. And I'm talking to Christians here, of course. If you're not a believer, we'll talk about that. But the first key is that we embrace our calling in Jesus Christ as it is. We see it in verse 8a. Richard Phillips calls this the qualification to be children of light. In other words, what we mean by this is that to be used as light To spread the light of Christ's resurrection power and life, we must be first clear that we are children of the light. What does it mean that we are children of the light? Christ love, He's love, yes. He taught us walk in love. We're to walk in love. But within this, God's Word is clear. And this is all over the Scriptures. God is light. 1 John 1 says, He's light and there's no darkness in Him at all. What this means is that a true Christian is one who realizes they were not just, before their conversion, surrounded by darkness, living in darkness. They were once darkness. As Paul said, Paul had said earlier in Ephesians 2, you look that up, you were dead in your sins and transgressions. You walked around, but you were spiritually dead. A Christian is a person, I'm saying, in other words, who grasps the reality of the resurrection and what that has done through Christ in their lives. Think about it as a picture of that. When Jesus was resurrected and He appeared before His disciples, they knew it was Him. But it was a whole different quality of life in His resurrected form. It's like that picture of the caterpillar, you know? You can tell the butterfly came from the caterpillar, but it's a whole new reality. So the Christian, the believer in Jesus, recognizes they were once darkness. Not just affected by darkness around them, but the darkness was within them. A person in an underground mine might think they can walk in that darkness and see where they're going and go from tunnel to tunnel and think they have light, or they're walking around and they're alive, but they're actually in darkness, aren't they? They might try to find a way and come in the light and then go back in because the light frightens them. But this is what we once were spiritually until God opened our eyes by grace and gave us His life through the resurrection. Spiritually speaking, we in our hearts were dead in the grave, like Christ died on the cross. We know, yes, one day we're going to be risen bodily, but here we're talking about a spiritual resurrection that Christians have. And one time we were dead spiritually in the grave, but through the resurrection power of Christ, as we're united to Him by faith, what we call union in Christ, we are lifted up with Him spiritually, He gives us a transformation. Light shines into the darkness of our lives, and we experience resurrection life inwardly that totally changed us. That's what a Christian is. And Paul means you were once darkness, but you now are not just in the light around you. You are light in the Lord. Now, only Jesus Christ, you might say, well, He's the light. Yeah, that's true. In the ultimate sense, only He is the light. But He came to overcome sin through His death and resurrection to bring His light into our lives, to live in us and rise us up out of the grave spiritually and one day bodily, and to overcome our darkness and to begin that process and to make us light. Like the moon reflects the light of the sun, we're saved and transformed by His resurrection power and light to reflect His light. We are children of light in Him. And Christians recognize, don't we, that we could not change our own way. Only Christ's resurrection light could shine into our darkness. Only His power could change us inwardly, and has changed us and is continuing to change us through the cross and the resurrection. We couldn't walk in godliness. We couldn't change ourselves. But Christ has done that. What has happened? A true Christian knows there was a time, we may not remember all of it, but there was a time when we came to Christ confessing our sins, our need for His grace, and we look to His cross where He died. We remember that He rose. He's a living Savior. And we asked Him that through His death and resurrection and faith in Him, He would save us. And that moment, from that moment, God brought us into a new realm in His kingdom of love and light and salvation, over whom the resurrected Savior, the living Savior, reigns. And this is what you must do to know His resurrection power. The power of His light and life in your life. Recognize, first of all, your sins and trust in Him alone. He will save you. Colossians 1 says of Christians, God has delivered us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Now, as I said this afternoon, we'll look at this, and it's important to understand the foundation of the resurrection, to know the evidence, to know that Christ appeared in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, to over 500 people and all the eyewitness accounts, and there is solid resurrection evidence. But folks, you and others will not know the real power of that resurrection light and life. You won't know it and experience it and be used by God as His child of light without trusting in Him. This is what we're talking about, the reality of the resurrection impacting our lives today. And for those of us that are Christians, I believe Paul shows us this here in context, that we would remember the reason for our growth. What motivates us? What's at the heart of our growth and transformation? It is not simply the negative side of things, which Paul in some ways has been focusing on. It's not just about realizing God's wrath against sin was taken through the ultimate sacrifice of love of Jesus, and that we don't want to have anything to do with those things. Yeah, that negative side is important. But it's also remembering who we are if we're Christians in Christ. To remember the profound transformation Christ, who is risen, has brought within us. We were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Are you embracing that calling? We're not just walking around in light. We are light in the Lord if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, would you trust in Him today? Confess your sins. Look to the living Savior. He will set you free and change your whole character. And that's what He's done in Christians' lives. He's working in our character at the very heart of our soul. And we're now light in Him. And we're to remember that. Embrace that. We're united to Him who rose. We died with Him, Paul says, in another place, and we rose up with Him. So we're born in that new character of Christ in His light through His resurrection, and it transforms us. So we hear the truths of the resurrection, yes. But we need to know the reality of that resurrection in our own lives and what God has done in Christ and embrace it. And that leads me to number two, express Christ-like character. You see it there on your outline, verse 8b to 9. Second point here, express Christ-like character. The second key, I think, is that we express Christ-like character in daily life, verse 8b to 9. And the point is, because we are, as Paul has said, our calling, we are light in the Lord, if you're a believer, then you're to express that. You're to live as children of the light. You're to walk as children of the light. There's a practical expression to it. And as Christians, we should know this, but we need to be reminded this is what the resurrection does and how we know the power is at work in our lives. Our behavior must conform more and more to our new identity, and we radiate more and more the light of who we now already are in Christ. The question is, what does this mean in real practice? This, folks, is again how the power of new life changes us, the resurrection. He says, walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light, and some translations say spirit, the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. He who said, Paul views Christ's light as reflected through the prisms of our lives. His light reflected through the prisms of our life, producing all that is good and right and true. There's not only the qualification necessary to know His light, and that's faith in Christ, but then for us as believers, we know we're to express the characteristics of the light. In other words, if you, and since you are a Christian, a believer who's trusted the resurrected Christ, and therefore you are light in the Lord, I know you're still growing, and if it's true, your character has been changed through the risen Christ. You've died and risen with Him, and you're changed by His love. Well, if that is true, since it's true, if that's happened to you, you are light in Him, then the Son of God is shining in you and on you and through you, and the fruit of the Son shining on you will result in more and more of this fruit. That's the connection. If you've ever left a rug out somewhere, outside, or some carpet or something, and you pulled it up and seen what's under there after a long time, or you pulled a building down, you've seen when the area has not gotten any light, it's just deadness there. Death there. But when the light is shining on it, and there's rain, of course, and all those things, there's great life. But when there's not, there's no fruit, there's no life, there's no growth. But the fruit of the light, Paul's saying, of the resurrection power spiritually in a true believer is going to involve a continual growth in these areas of spiritual fruit if the light is shining. In other words, yes, we're glad you're here today, and attending church is important. Worship's important, reading the Bible, all those things are key. They're important. And if you're Christians, you do those things. But I think, you know, and that shows that you know the resurrected Christ. But Paul's getting at the heart of it to say that here's how you really know. These are the real markers and indicators of whether the light of Jesus has made you a child of light and you're growing in Him. You know His resurrected power. Here are the indicators. These are characteristics, one man said, that'll always be evident in the lives of those who've been transformed from children of darkness into children of light. The fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. These are characteristics of light. Mark MacArthur, he points out that goodness here, if you look at that verse, deals with our generosity towards others. Righteousness, our right relationship with God, and then affecting how we live rightly and faithfully. Truth deals with ourselves in a sense, who we are in integrity and truthfulness and honesty. So the light affects our relationship with others, with God, and with ourselves. All areas. Goodness, good-heartedness, as one man said, towards others is contrast to the malice Paul's been talking about, the evil of the world. Righteousness and honoring God's standard is contrast to the selfishness Paul's been saying we turn away from of the world. We live in righteousness, the sensuality. And then truth is contrast to the deception Paul's been saying we Christians have been set free from. Now, goodness is really the idea of generosity, benevolence towards others. If we are children of the light through His new life shining in us, it will be evident more and more in the goodness we practically show to others, Christians, but others too. Just as God has been so good to us, He's given us new life through Christ who died and rose. He's born, given us new birth, Peter says, into a living hope through Jesus. And if we really know His new life, the hope of His resurrection, we're going to want that life to be pointed to others. We're going to want to show new life to others. We're going to want to show goodness and generosity and hope to those that are around us, Christians and non-Christians. Righteousness here is focused on the impact of God's faithfulness towards us. If we know His righteousness given by grace through faith, through the cross, the result's going to be more and more in a right living in our lives, doing what is right in God's eyes before the eyes of man. Walking in righteousness. So the resurrection brings a righteousness by grace through faith so that we are, as Paul says, justified by faith. Declared right in God's sight. But then it's going to produce a right living as well. Faithfulness to our obligations as Christians as the light shines through us. We're going to be faithful more to people. How about truth? Truth, as children of the light, we need to remember we no longer live in the darkness of deception. As that hymn 400 we sang says, we've been set free through His power. The dungeon has been opened up. The chains are broken off through the resurrection. We've been set free from lies and deception. And therefore the expression of knowing His resurrection life is that we walk in integrity, not hypocrisy. We're those who are delighting more and more in God's truth and in the reality of truth. And we have integrity and honesty. And folks, we may not think this way about the resurrection and that this is the expression of whether you are experiencing Christ's resurrection power, but it is how much integrity we have and goodness. Are we honest with the clerk at the fuel station when they give us too much money or with other people? I was reading a story I love about Corrie Ten Boom. She tells about her dad. She was a kid, and he was a watchmaker many years ago. And they were in dire straits financially, about to go under. This wealthy man came in and wanted to buy the most expensive watch in the whole store. And this could have paid their bills right away. But as her father was putting the money away, he had sold the watch. The man then mentioned, the young man who bought it, why he was buying the watch. Because a nearby competitor had not been able to fix his watch. And that young man always went to that other store. But he came to Corrie's dad now. And her dad then asked, well, let me see that broken watch. And after a few minutes, he fixed it, made a few adjustments, and gave it back. And he said, well, it's just a little mistake. It's all good now. Just give me the watch back, and I'll give you your money back. He said, that other guy, I know his dad. He'll be a really good watchmaker one day. He just made a little mistake. And Corrie said, almost fussing at her dad, why? We needed that. But he said, what will that young man think about Christ and the gospel if he hears one of his best customers came to me and I took advantage of him? Would God's name be honored? And the point is, in that moment, her dad knew it was an easy fix. God knew it was an easy fix. And he walked in integrity and goodness and truth. And it's in the story, Corrie's dad turns to her and he says, God will take care of us. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Folks, it's not easy, is it? But what do we remember? We know we serve a living Savior. We serve a Savior, a God who lifted a man, Jesus, from the grave. And we walk in that life with Him. And that's the way we experience more of His resurrection power, as we open our lives for His character, who's made us light, to shine through us in daily choices, daily actions. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:20, God has made Christ, who lives in us, wisdom and righteousness and justification. And that risen Savior, we've got to ask Him more and more to shine the light of His grace through us and live through us. And when we need to repent, we confess those things to Him and cling to Him. And we know this is how we grow in Him. And when there is life, it'll be there. And we need to ask that. We need to ask, what do other people see in us? What do our kids see in us? What do our spouses, our co-workers see in us? This is how the resurrection power of Christ shines through us. The reality of it in practical life. Number three thing here in verse 10, examine your choices daily. This fits with this, but in verse 10, the third key, examine our choices daily. Verse 10, someone said, when the light of the resurrected Jesus is refracted through the prisms of our life, there will be sanctifying shades for others to see of life. And then we'll be able to discern more and more what is pleasing, what is acceptable to the Lord. So this is what he says, verse 10. We do all of this, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Folks, this deals with our hearts as Christians. Our motivation is now changed to want to please God in every area of life. We don't just do these things to try to do them legalistically or to follow a set of rules. There's this story of a man, he brought his wife this globe home that was supposed to glow in the dark at night. And after giving her this present, it turned out the light wouldn't come on. There's nothing there. But then they noticed some French words and were able to translate what it said on the box. And it said this, if you want me to shine in the night, then you've got to keep me in the light. Are you walking in the light? This is what Paul's getting at here. We do this as we're seeking to find every day in daily choices what is pleasing to the Lord, what is acceptable to Him. To know His resurrection power, to shine forth His beautiful character, we must stay close to Him. We must continually look to the resurrected Christ in His Word to know Him. And this should be our desire, to want to please Him in every area of life. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what is God's perfect, pleasing will. And it's the same word here in Greek, dozomai, which means to test. Is that your desire? As a child of light, it should be. It's a word that was used in testing metals to prove them. And the point is, A Christian who is light in Christ is changed inwardly to desire God's will, wanting to know more and more in every day what pleases the Lord, discerning God's will, discovering it. And Paul knows we as Christians, as they did then, struggle with sin, don't we? But I think he wants to remind us we have light. We are light in the Lord. We have the resurrection power of Christ in us. And we ought to be those changed, wanting to please Him, and that we can please Him as Christ changes us. A Christian is one who through Jesus, the living Savior, through His power, has become light in Him. And we know His life, new life. We walk with our new Lord and we see things differently, everything differently. And our daily discipline is to discover in the Word of God what pleases Him out of our hearts that are born again in that new life. Brian Chappell, he tells of this grandma and grandpa who kept a child during the first 3 years of the child's life. And eventually the daughter, the mom, got back on her feet and the child moved away to California across the country from the grandparents. Well, some years later, the neighbors of these grandparents, they were on holiday and they were in California. And so they happened to run in to this family, the neighbors of the grandparents. And the grandson recognized them and he was shy, but he came up to the lady that knew the grandma. And the little boy's fishing in his jeans. He finally fished out a little mass of lint. And he looked at the lady and said, "Would you give this to my grandma?" Oh. Well, this neighbor took the lint from this little boy, but threw it away before getting back home, not thinking about it, to see the grandmother. And the neighbor told this grandma about the silly gift that she threw away. No big deal, right? But the grandma was not happy. She said, "I wish you'd have given me that and not thrown that away. That was the only thing you had to give me." We might say silly, you know, a piece of lint. But I have a point with this. Folks, the more we know how much our God cares about every little thing in our life, what we might think are little things, meager offerings, everything that we do as we walk with Him, to know that His Son came from heaven to live a perfect life, die for our sins, rise, and save us from sin, that we might walk in a newness of life to know God and please God, and that every little thing matters. The more we grow to realize that, the more we want to discern and discover what pleases God in every area. And that's how God changes us. That's how God works through us. Through that motivation. Through that love for our great Savior. And that leads me to number four. Expose the causes of sin. Verse 11. This fourth key we see that we expose the causes of sin. And Stott says here, this light metaphor, I think this is good, speaks vividly, this light metaphor, of Christian openness, transparency, living joyfully in God's presence with nothing to hide. That's the Christian life. I mean, if you and I, hopefully this is true, we're in the airport, right? And we have to go through security. You're not going to be worried, right, that they're going to find something you're going to take on the plane. you have a sense of, yeah, you're not perfect, but you know, as the x-ray machine scans upon you, you're okay. Spurgeon was asked one time as a Christian, you know, the great preacher, he was asked permission to give his life story. And you know what Spurgeon said? He said, "You can write it in the skies. I have nothing to hide." Not because Spurgeon didn't have any sin. Oh, yes. But he was clear in Christ, forgiven in Christ, a new creation in Christ, walking in assurance and joy with his Savior. And the more and more a believer who is light, who knows Christ's love, walks in that assurance with God and motive to please God, the more we're changed. And this results in a life Paul wants us to see here that seeks to live for Christ's purposes, not fellowship with the things of darkness. Did you see that? But rather expose them. And this, by the way, doesn't mean we go around as Christians pointing out everybody's sin. We'll see. The believer who is light in the Lord, experiencing the power of new life, living to please God, walks in a growing joy and assurance in their own lives, exposed in Christ's light, being changed by His power, and then being used to shine the light of the gospel and the resurrection to others. Christians and non-Christians. So having called us to embrace the call, express the characteristics, examine the choices, we're to then expose the unfruitful works of darkness in our own lives and then being used to help others and reach out to the lost. First thing we got to do though is watch out for how we witness as lights. Because Paul says here, we have no fellowship or partnership with the deeds of darkness. And folks, we know to be in the light and to be a light for Jesus, to shine forth the power of the resurrection and what it means in life, we've got to be amongst those in the darkness, don't we? We'd have to leave the world, Paul said in Corinthians 15 or 12 for that to happen, for us to not be around non-Christians. But Paul's point is we watch out in our witness as lights. We guard against what we participate in as believers, our actions, what we talk about, what we see. We must remember that we will not shine forth as light if we're trying to blend into the darkness, participating in those things. I always like the story of this billionaire. He was looking for a man to skipper his luxury yacht. And he had these three best applicants demonstrate their sailing skills. And the first one took the boat up to top speeds, and they gasped at this. And the other one sailed it close to the edge of the cliffs. But then the third man came, and he calmly steered the yacht into the middle of the harbor in safety. And you know what? The billionaire gave that third man the job. My point is, we as Christians learn to walk in Christ and to stop steering close to the rocks of the sinful world around us to be used by God, to really shine as Christ's light. We're not called to live in the deeds of darkness and blend in. We're to have nothing to do, Paul says, with the fruitless deeds of darkness. And what this means is when there's activities, when there's events that represent darkness, if it's not good, right, and true, we ought to steer clear from it. Seek to stay away from it because we're called to be light. This is why Paul says it is even shameful to speak of those things that are done by them in the secret. And the point is we can't, not that we don't talk about these things at all. As Christians, of course, Paul's talking about it. The point is that we do not dwell on the darkness, the evil, the darkness of the culture that normalizes and dignifies sin and excuses it as light. He condemns dwelling on it, as one man said, filling our minds with it, while at the same time we speak and condemn it. We as Christians have to look at our lives, don't we, at times. MacArthur said, some things are so vile they should be discussed as little as possible because even describing them, focusing on them, can be morally polluting and spiritually dangerous. So folks, a godly marriage in the light is a powerful thing. A chaste lifestyle as Christians does far more good than trying to partner in and blend in with the world around us. And no, we should not put the focus in our thinking, our talking, or testifying in the dark. When we're light. When we know the light. And we want others to see the light and be pointed to Jesus Christ. So in our thinking, our talking, our testifying, we have to ask, are they focused on the living Lord that we've been set free from sin? So we talk about encouraging things, steering away from godless gossip and small talk and idle and all these things to really focus on all we have in Jesus Christ, rejoicing and enjoying the life we've been given through the resurrected Savior. And folks, this is why we need to be together as Christians, as children of light. We come together and we worship as we do today and other times to encourage one another, to know we are children in the light. And when we invest in those who are in the light, like us, we're strong together in that light and we're able to see the darkness for what it is and walk into the light that Christ has given us through the resurrection. And so folks, remember this though. We know that as the light shines through us, it brings conviction in people's lives. And we have to speak up about things, I know. But remember the goal is those around us will know the hope of the light of the resurrected Jesus as we live those things out. That they'll be pointed to Him. That is always the goal. So we watch out for behaviors that we could blend into. We watch out for words that can actually focus us on the darkness. And even lead ourselves or others into the darkness. But most of all, we walk in Christ's light as His light exposes our hearts first, not trying to ignore sin or deny evil in ourselves or in others. And I was reading about how certain countries will have these shops, you know, and you've probably seen these. And the markets are in very dark areas where you can't see what you're buying. And you got to be able to bring the merchandise out to the outside to actually examine it. And I remember one time I was in Bali years ago with the family, and I was in a marketplace area back in the back somewhere, and I was a little bit bigger back then, and I really liked this t-shirt. And they had me try it on, and they were trying to force me to buy it. That fit. That t-shirt really did fit. But out in the light, people would see that it was not a fit. And we've got to walk in the light that sin will be seen for what it is. Not hiding the mice of sin and bugs under the floorboard, but knowing in Christ we've been forgiven and we're called to grow in the light that we might shine the light into the lives of those around us. And yes, we speak up, but ultimately we live it out to be used by God. Because folks, if you look at your life and you think about when you came to Christ, couldn't many of you point out it was a time when there was a Christian who was amazingly different around you as the light of Christ shone through them in their character, in their lifestyle, in their relationships that God used. I know He did in my life to help me to see who the Savior really is and to contrast the darkness of my ways with how they walked in the light. And yes, it can be convicting, and yes, non-Christians can fight against it, but often it is that way of life that God uses over time to help them to see that there's a Savior, there's light. And that's why Paul says what he says here. Anything exposed by the light becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. He's saying, yes, it can seem like a negative thing to be exposing sin, but it's really positive because it has evangelistic power to point people to their need for the light. Yes, it exposes sin, convicts people, but it also has the power to point them to the need of the Savior and the hope that there is in this one who died for their sin, who rose from the grave. And finally, as we close, exercise your commission. Briefly here, we see this final thing in 12 to 14. Christ died for sin in love. He rose over death, and He has brought through that. Paul is wanting us to see a total change in the world for those that will trust in Him and look to Him. God, through Jesus, through His victory over sin and resurrection, has shone into the darkness of this world, and it will never, ever be the same. So we wake up, don't we, on Easter. We have those sunrise services sometimes, you know, and it reminds us, Christ is risen. Yes, He is risen indeed. And this means everything has changed. A new age of God's kingdom and love has dawned, and Christians grow in Him. And then as we grow, we shine the light of this living Savior who can save others, and they come to know Him, and we continue to look to the return of this resurrected King. And I think that's why Paul, he quotes this here. If you look there in verse 14, it was probably an early church hymn, most people believe, that was used at baptisms and at Easter time even. It was based more than likely on Isaiah 61:2 that we read earlier. Therefore, he says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen on you." And a lot of people, they believe this was used as a call, perhaps, to the non-Christians sitting in the service on Easter Sunday, and on those church services, that they might respond to the resurrection, they might wake up and trust in Him. But it is also a call to us as believers, that we wake up out of our slumber because Christ's light has shone. That we arise, we wake up. Our Savior has overcome sin. We're light in Him, and we're to live as light and to be used by Him to shine the light. That we apply the reality of the resurrection where we are now to point people to our living Savior and the promise Jesus gives. What did He say in John 8:12? "Whoever trusts in Me will never walk in darkness." And Paul says here, Christ's light will shine on you, Christian. non-believer out there, if the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, Christ's light will shine on you if you will turn to Him. He will set you free. He is risen. He is victorious over sin. Turn to Him today. Let's close now in a word of prayer. Lord, this Easter Sunday, we come and we do remember the evidence that the tomb was empty when Your people went there to see and You appeared to eyewitnesses, so many, that You are risen. But Lord, we need to know that there is a purpose to that. There's a transformation that comes through the gospel, through the Savior who died and who rose. As Your Spirit works and people are born again, the light of Christ who is risen for all eternity shines into their hearts. And You continue to shine into our hearts as Christians, exposing the darkness, helping us to know where real life is. And Lord, we pray that if there's any here today that do not know You, they will trust in You and see the chains fall off. Awake, O you sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. We pray all this in the powerful and mighty name of our Savior and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.